Bridge Church VA online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Christmas experience called God With Us. And if you follow us on social media, you've probably seen us share some cool graphics for this series. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and you'll kind of see all the different graphics that we've put up there. We also even kind of have a nice little cool intro video, bumper video, as we like to kind of call it, almost like a little trailer, like, you know, Marvel's Avengers Infinity War trailer, best trailer ever. I don't know if you knew that or not. Some of you guys are like, what? Don't worry about it. I'm on a tangent right now. But nonetheless, we got some cool stuff on social media, so I want you guys to take a look at that, share that as well. But I really want us to lean into this series, and the reason why is because I think that this series represents what this season is all about, and this season represents the heart of God. That this season, people can really get a sense for what the heart of God really looks like. And that's why we've called this series God With Us. Because at the core of who God is, the thing you got to understand is God is loving. Scripture says that God is love. Like, he is the very nature of love. He is love. He embodies love. In other words, you can't find love without having a relationship with God. And so one thing that people are always trying to figure out during this time, especially, is does God love me? And life can typically feel the way it feels outside right now, and a little chilly even on the inside here right now, where life feels cold, where life feels as if there's no end in sight, where it's just difficulty after difficulty, that even in the midst of the nice decorations like we got right up here, our amazing team hung all these things up, pretty cool, but it's like, you know, all this stuff can, on the surface, can kind of paint a picture like, man, it's really cool and everything is great, but on the inside, man, things may not be good. You may be struggling. You may be going through some difficult times right now. So this series is really designed to minister to us, to let you know that no matter what you go through, God is with you. And that's a great place to say amen. That no matter what it is that you deal with this season, and not just this season, but every season of your life, that God is with you. And as a matter of fact, kind of a theme scripture that we're going to be sharing every week to kind of guide us through this series comes out of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it says this, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. I'm going to read it one more time. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Which means, as we will see in this main scripture that we're going to get ready to read in a moment, it means God with us. So with that being said, I want to open up part one of this series, God with Us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And if you've got our app, you can open up the app and you can find today's message notes in there. You can fill in the blank and all that good stuff. And if you don't, you can go to the App Store, Google, iTunes, whatever, and you can download it there. But I want to read out of Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and we're going to kind of walk through what this series is all about and how God is faithful and how God is good and how God is with us. And so Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, and we got it on the screen as well, it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22 says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive, which is the verse we just read, and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. and he gave him the name Jesus. And so today, if you're taking notes, I want to simply entitle part one of this new series, God With Us. God with us in our pain. God is with us in our pain. Now, the Christmas season is a season, as we mentioned, it's a season where we, you know, it's not about the Santa Claus movie, which is a great movie, by the way. It's not about Will Ferrell's Elf, which is another great movie, by the way. It's not about the Polar Express. It's okay movie. Sorry if you like it a whole lot. It's okay. But nonetheless, it's not about all those things. The season is really all about looking to what God has done and how God has promised to be with us through his son, Jesus. As a matter of fact, for centuries, the church has recognized this time as the season of Advent, which is a Latin word and comes from a Latin word called or meaning arrival or a time of waiting in preparation for the arrival of something. And in particular, as the church, we look to the arrival and we prepare our hearts and we wait for the arrival of the coming Messiah. So even as we're in the 21st century, obviously we're not waiting for the first arrival of Jesus because he already came, but rather we look back upon his first arrival while looking ahead to his second coming. So essentially we're kind of in that in-between season, if you will, of the time of history. But nonetheless, the reason why we look back at the arrival of Christ is because looking back gives us perspective in how we look at things now. We look back at the faithfulness of God. We look back at the promise of God. We look back at the things that God has done so that way we can gain perspective into the things of now. This Advent season is all about slowing down and posturing our hearts to be able to see God for who he is. And the reason why this season is so important is because this season, you're already being pulled in this direction and in that direction. If you have kids, they're in this recital. They're in this program. You're invited to this holiday party. You're invited to that holiday party. You're going shopping here. You're ripping and racing here. And this season can sometimes, in the midst of being a great season, which is what it's supposed to be, it can be a very stressful season. How many of you guys have ever realized that sometimes Christmas can be not the most happiest time of the year, but the most stressful time of the year? How many of you guys have ever had that happen before? Because oftentimes what happens is, instead of slowing down, it's like we accelerate. We speed up. And so we're ripping, we're running. And we don't ever actually take a moment to pause and to be still, and the scripture says, and know that he's God. I want to encourage us during this season. I know we got a lot of stuff going on, and I know you're going to get invited to this Christmas party. I know you got these plans with family, and all those things are great. But in the midst of all those things, I want to encourage us to take a moment and just pause, to slow down. Somebody say slow down. Slow down. And I think that this can be one of the richest things that we do in our day and time, because in our culture, everything is fast-paced. But the Advent season, this Christmas season, is really designed for us to slow down. Because what happens is when we slow down, we begin to recognize and see God for who he is in a great way. In particular, we can begin to see how God is with us, in particular today's message, even in our pain. Now, one of the things that is interesting is it's easy to see and to recognize and sense that God is with us when things are going well, when you're kind of on the mountaintop of life, if you will, the high moments of life. It's easy to kind of get a sense that God is with you because you got the promotion that you prayed for, right? The child, the baby went to bed and slept through the night for the first time. Can I get a good amen to anybody who's ever had kids in here? Come on. Those of you guys who ain't saying amen, you don't know nothing about that, I guess. But it's easy to kind of sense that God is with us during those times when everything is just going great. When you got, even in the midst of that holly jolly noise in the background, I don't know what that was. But it's easy to kind of think that God is, he's surely with us because I got good news this week. I got a good doctor's report. It's easy to sense God's presence in those high moments. But however, it sometimes can be challenging to sense his presence in what I like to call the valley moments, the low moments, the painful moments, those moments when you're worried, those moments when you're afraid, those moments when you've been disappointed, those moments when you've been hurt. And if you've ever been at that point in time in your life, if you've ever been in a place where you've had difficulty sensing God's presence in the low moments of your life, here's the good news, man. You came to church on the right Sunday. And this scripture and this sermon is just for you. And even if you're not there right now, there will come a time in your life where you will be in a valley moment. Every day is not a mountaintop day. Every day, I like to say, you are not killing it. Some days, you are getting killed, it feels like. Some days is not sunny days. We just had 2 days of straight rain, and it was like God was speaking to me. He says, sometimes there are seasons like that. There are days like that where the rain just won't stop, where the pain just doesn't stop. Yes, there's days where it's nice and bright outside, but there's also days when it's not nice and bright. There's days where you don't even feel like coming out of the house. There's days where you don't even feel like living your life. And some of us have been there before, and you've been asking yourself the question, God, where are you? And this text speaks specifically to that. But in particular, it talks about the arrival of Jesus and how the arrival of Jesus impacts the lives of various people. And in particular, here in Matthew chapter 1, it talks about the life of Joseph and how Joseph's life was literally turned upside down because of Jesus. And at first glance, we would think, oh, this is a great thing. There's no pain in this story. And I would beg to differ. When you start reading around verse 18, notice what verse 18 says. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things you got to understand in Jewish culture, which is the culture that they were in this time, engagement was a legally binding commitment. It was as if you were married in this first century context. The thing about it was that was different was you wouldn't live together during this time. It wouldn't be consummated through sexual relation. There wasn't any intercourse until after the ceremony. In other words, Joseph and Mary were engaged, but it was just as much as them being married. Now, the reason why this is difficult is because I want you to go back to this first century context. I want you to put yourself in these shoes. Joseph and Mary are engaged. She has said yes. Joseph has asked, will you marry me? She said yes. Now, I mean, in that kind of time, the marriages were somewhat arranged, but just kind of go with me here. I want you to contemporize it a little bit. But they had decided that we want to spend the rest of our lives with one another. Y'all, she has said yes to the dress. Go with me here. Like in her mind, she's already planned, man, we're going to do this. We're going to have X amount of kids. We're going to have, you know, 5 kids. We're going to buy 5 camels, you know, first century context. You know, we're going to have horses here. We're going to have goats here. And the kids are going to play out in the fields. And they're going to play out in the barnyard. And it's going to be so awesome and so amazing. And Joseph's like, yeah, my boys, man, I'm going to have them out there chiseling rock with me, because Joseph was a carpenter. And he's like, I'm going to have them out here, you know, throwing out trash. And we're going to be mowing the lawn together. Like, they're already planning out their life together. But then in the end of verse 18, it says, but before they got married, Mary was found to be pregnant. I don't know if y'all caught that. But before they got married, Mary was found to be pregnant. Now, I don't know about you. If I'm engaged to my soon-to-be spouse, wife, and I find out that she's pregnant, we got a problem on our hands. Can I get a good amen? Because that obviously tells me that there was some unfaithfulness taking place here. Can you imagine this? Joseph, the position that he's in, he's the main character of this passage, essentially. In his mind, he was already thinking of being married. But before, they have gone from a time of joyful expectation. I'm talking about excited. They're sending out wedding invitations, right? They're sending out evites. They're doing the whole nine. They're getting ready, y'all. And he finds out that Mary then got pregnant, that there's something about Mary. I thought about calling this sermon, "There's Something About Mary." Something's not right here. Something's off. Can you imagine the emotions that Joseph was feeling? I mean, think about it. Think about it from a human perspective, because a lot of times when we read this passage, we kind of just glaze over the fact that, oh, you know, Joseph and Mary, they were pregnant, or they were pledged to get married, and Mary got pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden, Joseph was like, I'm going to divorce you, and then the angel all of a sudden shows up in a dream and says, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, what's happened to her is supernatural, it's of God, go take her to be your wife, then Joseph takes her to be your wife, and we all live happily ever after. No, slow down a moment. I want you to put yourself in Joseph's shoes and feel the pain that he feels, the disappointment that he feels, maybe even the frustration that he feels. Because a lot of times what happens is we like to gloss over the emotional aspect of even our spiritual walk with God. One of the things that I love about the book of Psalms is how the book of Psalms is very honest in the walk with God. You have David in one second say, Lord, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And in the next second he says, God, I wish you would kill him. Oh. Hold on, David. Because a lot of times we don't like to process the emotions that we have going on. Joseph, y'all, is experiencing a painful moment. Because here's what's happened. Here's what's happening. That in this text, his soon-to-be wife is pregnant. And the Holy Spirit, the angel, hasn't even appeared to him yet. So in his mind, he's like, listen, Mary, we got to call this off. We got to end it. Notice what happens in verse 19. This is what it says. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. It says here that he was a righteous man. He was faithful to the law, meaning he trusted in God and submitted to the word of God. That's what it means here. And one of the things that I love about this story is that it helps us see that pain and disappointment happen to everybody, no matter if you're following Jesus or not. That nobody in here, myself included, is excluded from pain. Nobody in here is excluded from experiencing disappointment. You will experience disappointing times in your life. You will experience letdowns in your life. Joseph plans to get married in one moment, and in the next moment, he's planning a divorce. Can you imagine the roller coaster of emotions he's feeling? Can you imagine the tension that he's experiencing? Now, the text also helps us see that even though he was planning to divorce her, he didn't want to shame her, so he was going to do it quietly. Because technically, according to Jewish law and Jewish custom, if you were found to be unfaithful in your marriage, that was considered adultery. And in Jewish law, that was almost a capital offense. You could be stoned to death for that. But Joseph doesn't go that far. In the midst of the pain that he's experiencing, he still extends grace. He says, I don't want to publicly disgrace Mary. I don't want to make it a big deal. I don't want to put it on Facebook. I don't want to put it on social media. I don't want to put it on Instagram and says, look at her, she's been unfaithful. Don't mess with her at all. No. Joseph decides to do it quietly. Wanted to fulfill the law, but also show compassion. I want y'all to see this story. Because if you don't get this part of it, nothing else will make sense. I want you to see how in a short period of time, Joseph has gone from planning a wedding, planning to be married, to now planning a divorce. That's painful, y'all. That's painful. I don't know if you've ever been in a time where moments were in your life where things were going well. You were killing it. It was going well. Your marriage was going well. Finances were going well. And then all of a sudden, everything just collapsed. Everything just fell apart. Things were going well on your job. And then all of a sudden, they said, hey, we're downsized. We're going to have to cut you in 2 weeks. Painful moments. I don't know if you've ever been there where you've experienced disappointment. Maybe even in your relationships, where you didn't expect your relationship to go this particular direction. It seemed like things were going well. It seemed like y'all loved each other. It seemed like, man, you guys were just head over heels. But then all of a sudden, the next day, you hate each other. You can't even talk to each other. You're lying to each other. You're deceiving each other. You're hating each other. Painful moments. And I don't know about you, life has a tendency to throw us curveballs. Life has a tendency, in one moment, to take us to the top of the mountain like Griffin at Busch Gardens and then just drop us down. Have you guys ever felt that before just by showing hands? Can anybody be honest? Where like one moment everything was great, kids were listening, Man, I remember recently, man, we had like a great week where, like, that's a little bit of a stretch, a great day. I got a little, extended too much grace there. We had a great day where, like, man, all day long, the kids were doing great, man. They were listening, you know, nobody was hitting each other. Nobody was pushing each other. It's like, man, God has blessed us. And then out of nowhere, all you hear is fussing and crying and complaining. Like, my gosh, things were going so well. What happened? And many of us have experienced the same thing in different areas and different ways in our life where everything was going great, but it was like the bottom just fell out from beneath you. Painful moments. Painful moments. Joseph finds himself in the midst of a painful, disappointing moment. Financial problems. Some of you guys have experienced that where it was like, man, we're good financially. I'm good financially, but then all of a sudden, the car begins to act up. All of a sudden, this begins to happen in your house. All of a sudden, you got to go to the doctor and you got to pay more. And then all of a sudden, they're giving you all these different reports. You went there for a flu shot, and now they're talking about you got cancer. Like, there's all of these different moments that happen in our life that take us from here and bring us here. And the proverbial question that we oftentimes ask in those moments is this: God, where are you? I remember in particular about 4 years ago, my wife and I, when we were getting ready to plant the church, a year before we actually launched this church, we spent about a good week in Alabama connecting with our church planting network, ARC, who our church is a part of. And we spent a whole week down there getting trained, and we had to go through an assessment process where they would assess us and say, like, hey, we feel confident you guys are able and willing, not only willing, but able to plant this church and for it to be healthy and to be strong. And I remember we got assessed and we were like, man, we hope that, you know, they kind of give us the green light. And I remember sitting in the office and they were like, hey, man, we just want to give you guys great news and say, hey, you guys, we're behind you. And we believe in you and we're proving you guys. And I remember we were in Alabama, we were in the airport, and I remember that day, I remember seeing on the news on CNN about how Nelson Mandela died in the airport. But that wasn't the thing that got me, because we were in Alabama coming back, and the next day, I literally got a call from our family saying that our grandmother had passed away. In one moment, we're on cloud nine. Yes, we got this awesome vision from God to plant this church. ARC has gotten behind us. They're going to approve us. They've approved us. They're going to resource us. Oh, my goodness. Like, the dream is coming to pass. And then the next moment, Grandma passed away overnight. Do y'all see the pain that sometimes we can experience? Where one moment, you're here. And the next moment, you're here. Anybody ever been there before? Where you're here, but then you're there. And it's like, God, where are you in the midst of all of this? And Joseph finds himself in the same exact situation, where one moment he was planning a wedding. One moment he was planning, like, this is how our family is going to look. Man, we got Chip and Joanna planning out how our house is going to look, HGTV. But then in the next moment, we found out that this happened. Mary's pregnant. But here's the good news, that even in the midst of the pain that Joseph was experiencing, even in the midst of the pain that you and I experience, even in the midst of the disappointment that you and I experience, on the surface, it looks like pain, but beneath the surface, God is working. Beneath the surface, God is behind the scenes doing something extravagant, doing something amazing that you and I could never even fully grasp unless we went through it, which helps us understand a few things. Number one, when it comes to our pain and going through painful moments, here's the first news of encouragement this morning, and I'm glad you guys are here this morning, because this message is for you. When you're going through painful moments, the number one thing you got to realize is that God will meet you in your pain. I thought I would get some amens there. God will meet you in your pain. Here's what verse 20 through 21 says. It says, but after he had considered this, Joseph considering to divorce Mary, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Notice what verse 20 says. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. An angel was a messenger of God, representing the very presence of God, representing that God is with you. When you and I are going through painful moments, where are you, God? He says, I'm right there with you. I haven't left you. I'm right there with you. And this angel here showing up to Joseph in a dream, y'all, by the way. Joseph is knocked out on the couch. And an angel sent from God appears to him and says, hey, hold on. I know you're hurting. I know you're confused. I know you're disappointed. But I got something to tell you. That God is with you. Matter of fact, in another account, in Mary's account of what was happening here, an angel comes to Mary and says, hold on. I don't want you to be afraid or think you did something wrong. No, this happened. You are favored with God. In other words, God is with you. God will meet you in your most painful moments. God will meet you in your moments of disappointment. God will meet you at your lowest moment. Never think for one second at all that when you go through the lowest moments in life, when you go through depression, when you go through a letdown, when you go through a disappointment, that God has abandoned you. Do not believe the lie that because I'm going through this, that must mean that God has abandoned me. No, I want to help you understand that sometimes you going through it is key evidence God is with you. He hasn't forsaken you. Matter of fact, here's what Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. I praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. I love that. It doesn't just say he gives us comfort for our troubles. He comforts us in our troubles. Here's what it says. It says that God is not just sitting on the outskirts of heaven and the outskirts of your situation looking down. He says, no, I'm going to get in it with you. So that way you know that even though you're going through crazy moments right now, even though you are disappointed, even though you are in pain, I want you to know that I am with you. That even though they left you, I want you to know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even though that thing did not come through the way you wanted it to come through, I want you to know that I am with you. Even though people are disregarding you and even though situations are not working out in your favor, I want you to know that I am with you. Even though it's not happening the way you thought it would happen, even though you didn't want to go through the pain that you're going through right now, even though it's confusing, even though it does not make sense, I want you to know that I am with you. God meets you in your pain. And why is that good news? It's good news because if he meets us in our pain, that means he plans to do something about our pain. That means if God shows up, he plans on doing something about it. So I want to let us know right now, if you're in a painful moment right now, maybe you're in a painful moment in your marriage, maybe you're experiencing disappointment with your job, your finances, whatever the case may be, I want you to know this. God says, I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to be with you through this thing. And it's amazing in this passage because it shows us the principle that God never promised that things wouldn't happen to us. I say it like this if you're taking notes. God never said you won't go through pain. He promised to be with you through it. He never promised you a pain-free life. He promised to be with you through the pain of life. He promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And it's interesting because the angel doesn't just show up. The angel shows up and he brings this message of good news to Joseph. Essentially, he brings the gospel to Joseph because here's what he says. He says, I want you to realize, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife because what has happened to her has happened supernaturally through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has impregnated Mary. She is pregnant with a child and you are to name the child Jesus because he will save his people. He will save humanity from their sins. That is the gospel message right there, y'all. That Jesus came from heaven to earth to bridge the gap between humanity and God because of the sin of humanity. A great name for a church, by the way. Jesus comes to sacrifice himself for the sins of the world. That's what Jesus came to do. And I love the fact here, for those of us who are like really big Bible nerds, because the name Jesus in Hebrew actually translates to Joseph or Joshua in the Old Testament, which means Yahweh saves. Which means this, Jesus can save you from your pain. Jesus can deliver you from your pain. It may not happen the way you want to, but he has promised to do it. Here's what 1 Timothy 1:15 says. It says, here's a trustworthy saying that's commendable and should be known by all, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Why did Jesus come into this world? He came into this world to save us for our sin. God will always bring a message of good news, a message of gospel in the midst of your pain. And the thing that you got to realize is that it is not the time when I go through pain to run away from God. No, when I experience pain, that's the time for me to lean into God. That's the time for me to run to God. That's the time for me to press into the presence of God. That's not the time for me to skip church. That's not the time for me to avoid believers. No, that's the time where I lean in, because when I lean in, I begin to see that God has already leaned in with me. He meets you in your pain. He's with you. God with us. Which leads me to my second point, that he doesn't just meet you in your lowest, most disappointing moments, but he also does this. He gives meaning to your pain. When you look at verses 22 through 23, notice what it says next. After the angel spoke all this to Joseph in the dream, it says, all this took place to fulfill the Lord, what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, I want you to go with me here. It says, all this took place to fulfill what God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, which was the original scripture that we read, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Now, here's what's powerful about this, y'all. What God gave to Isaiah to speak in Isaiah 7:14, that was prophesied over 700 plus years before Jesus would come. I hope you see where I'm going with this. In other words, what God spoke 700 years ago, he already knew what would happen in Joseph's life. He already knew the disappointment that Joseph would feel. He already knew the pain that Joseph would feel. But God is saying that there's a purpose for your pain, Joseph. That there's a meaning for it. I know on the surface it's like, man, why is this happening to me? But I want you to know that there's a greater purpose at work here, Joseph, that was 700 plus years in the making, that was really planned from all of eternity past, present, and even future. I want you to know, Joseph, that what you're going through is not by happenstance. No, there is a purpose for your pain, Joseph. There's a meaning behind it. And many of us in here are trying to figure out right now, God, why am I going through this? Why am I experiencing this letdown right now in life? And God is helping us understand. He brought you here this morning to realize that there's a purpose for it. There's a pain for your purpose. That there's something that God wants to bring about in your life. Here's what Romans 8:28 says. For we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know in all things. That's not just the good things. That's also the bad things. That's also the painful things. That's also the disappointments that you experience in life. That's also the disappointment of not getting the job that you pray for, or not being with the person that you wanted to be with, or not getting the doctor's report that you wanted to hear when you went there. It is a purpose that God is working out through your most painful moment. Let me say it like this if you're taking notes. Our pain only makes sense when you view it through the lens of God's purpose. It only makes sense when you look at it through the lens of God's purpose. If you're trying to figure out what's the meaning of your pain without looking at it through God's perspective, you will drive yourself crazy. You will believe the lies of the enemy. But when you begin to declare things like Romans 8:28 over your life, God, I know that even in all things, good or bad, you are working them out for my good. So even though my situation is not good, I know you have a good purpose planned for that thing. That's what this is all about. There's purpose in your pain. I'll say it like this as well, that God will often bring about his purpose through your pain. Many of us in here are trying to figure out, God, what's my purpose in life? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Where do you want me to go? And God is like, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to have to allow you to go through some stuff so you can see what I have for you. Some of us would be like, man, that doesn't make any sense at all. Let me help us understand something like this. If Jesus doesn't go through the crucifixion, we would never see the full purpose of God on display. Many of us want the resurrection of Jesus without the crucifixion. You're like, Pastor, but this is a Christmas message. It's not Easter yet. It's all connected. Many of us want the joys of the resurrection. Many of us want the mountaintop experience. And God's like, you know that in order to get to a mountaintop, you got to sometimes go through a valley. But the good news is this, I'm with you through it. There's a meaning, there's a purpose for it. I remember this, that every time when I was in that delivery room with Ariel, seeing our children come out the birth canal, I'm just going to leave it there. Anybody who's ever seen and experienced delivering a baby or seen a baby delivered, you would go on to say that there's a lot of pain associated with that thing. I don't care if you got an epidural or not, there's still some pain in there. Right? Come on, somebody. Come on, women in here, ladies in here, mothers in here, sisters in here who've delivered a baby. You know that thing hurts. The guys are just giving me blank faces like, we don't know what you're talking about right now. Just go talk to your mom. Just ask her how that experience was. It's pain. I have never heard agony, screams of pain like that in my life. Ever. And every time I try to, like, put myself in Ariel's shoes, like, man, I wonder what this feels like. Every time I get a visual, it's like God says, I want you to imagine this times 100. I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm just going to be the cheerleader right here. Come on, darling, you're good. You're doing a great job. I'm going to be a great cheerleader. But if I was the one pumping out this baby, I probably wouldn't make it. Probably would have passed out. The Lord knew exactly what he was doing. But what's interesting is that there is no delivery without any pain. There is no promise of this child coming out without the pain happening. That there has to be some pain that precedes the promise. And a lot of times, we want the promise of God without going through the process sometimes that involves pain. And God is saying, I have an amazing purpose and plan for your life, but sometimes you may have to go through some painful moments in order for it to happen in your life. But you know what's so powerful about childbirth? They always said this, and I remember me and Ariel would always be like, no. They always say, once you see that baby, you'll forget all about the pain. And Ariel would always kind of, we would always joke, like, I don't know about that. And it was true. That the joy of holding that child in your hand, the joy of seeing that baby look back at you, bloody and all, it's a beautiful mess. Isn't that interesting? It's a message somewhere in there. Beautiful mess. The cross is a beautiful mess. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching good. Y'all ain't saying amen. Y'all too cold today? But the joy of the promise fulfilled, it begins to shrink the pain that I experienced. It puts the pain in context. It's real quiet right now. I want you to know that there's a meaning for your pain. I want you to know that there was a meaning for even when your loved one passed away years ago. I want you to know that there was a meaning for you losing the job. I want you to know that there was a meaning for the disappointment that happened in your life. I want you to know that there was a meaning. There is nothing that happens in your life that's ever wasted before God. God has a way of working all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God's promise is often manifested in our pain. And if we were to stop there, that would be a good message, but an incomplete message. Because God doesn't just meet us in our pain. And he doesn't just give meaning in our pain. But because God is good, because God is loving, he moves us through our pain. So when you look at the ending portion of this passage of scripture, verses 24 through 25, it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate, in other words, have sexual relations with her in their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. What is the good news here? The good news is that the grace of God that was upon this whole entire encounter, the message of the gospel that was preached by this angel to Joseph earlier in this passage, is the very fuel that fueled Joseph to be able to get through this disappointing moment and maybe painful time in his life. Let me help you understand that it's only God's grace that will help you get through the difficult moments of your life. Not anything else, not willpower, not strength, not creativity, not ingenuity. The only thing that will get you through your most painful moments, your most disappointing moments, your most lowest moments is the grace, the power, the love, the mercy, the goodness, the faithfulness of God himself. That is the only thing that can get you through painful moments. And anybody in here who's been walking with God long enough, who's experienced letdown, who's experienced difficult moments, if you were to ever ask them, how did you make it through that valley moment in your life? They would tell you it was only by the grace of God. Because based upon
upon myself, I would have been quit. If it was based upon myself, I would have threw in the towel a long time ago. But had it not been for the grace of God on my side, I would not have made it through that situation.
It's because of God's grace. That's what enabled Joseph to be able to wake up and take Mary home as his wife, even though it would cost him something, even though his reputation may be marred. He says, God's grace is upon this situation, and I'm going to walk in this grace. And here's what's powerful about this, y'all. I need you to understand this before we kind of get really happy about it. God didn't change the situation. It wasn't like Mary was pregnant and then not pregnant. It wasn't like Mary got pregnant by the Holy Spirit and then, you know, God was like, you know what, I changed my mind. I take it back. Y'all can go ahead and get married. No. God's grace carried them through it. And a lot of times, our prayer is, God, would you get me out of the situation? And let me help you with a nice little theological nugget. God is more concerned not about getting you out of it more than helping you get through it. He says, I don't need to get you out of it to show you that I'm good. My grace is strong enough to get you through it. You know, one of the things that God did in maturing my faith is he helped me to get to that place where my prayers were no longer, God, get me, just if you just get me out of this, if you just get me out of this. He's like, no. Like, some things I got to let you stay in because I'm working something out of you. Some things I got to let you stay in because I'm developing something in you. But I want you to realize that my grace can get you through it. I think this is what Psalm 23 means. That good old guy by the name of King David, when he writes in Psalm 23, a scripture that many of us know by heart, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even though I walk through the lowest moments, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are what? With me. Which means it doesn't matter what you're going through. The good news is that you're going through it. When you look at the original language of when he says, though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That word walk in the original Hebrew translation is an active word. What do you mean by active? It means this. It is not a stationary type of word. It is an action word, which means I'm in it, but I'm not staying here. I'm walking through it. I'm getting through it. What is David helping us understand? Oh, I'm in the valley now, but I'm not going to be here forever. Why? Because God is with me. Why? Because he promised to never leave me nor forsake me. Why? Because no matter what I'm going through, hell or high water, God says, I am with you. And if I'm with you, I'm going to get you through this thing. That no matter what it is that you're dealing with, no matter what it is that you're up against right now, I know you have more bills than you got money. I know everybody's leaving you right now. I know nothing's working out the way you want it to. I know you've been trying to get pregnant and you haven't been able to get pregnant. But I want you to know that I am with you. And because I'm with you, I will get you through this thing. Maybe that's why Paul could say this in 2 Corinthians 12. 8-9. I love this. One of my favorite scriptures. He says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. What was Paul talking about? He was talking about a thorn in his side. We don't know what the thorn was, but it was hurting. And he says, three times I asked God to remove it. Take it away, God. Take it away, God. Take it away, God. Many of us in here have been praying that type of prayer. God, would you take the pain away? Take it away. Take it away. Take the disappointment away. Take the frustration away. Take it away. Take it away. Take it away. But notice what Jesus says here. Each time Jesus says, my grace is all you need. My grace is all you need. My grace is all you need. Maybe some of us need to tattoo that on our arm. Literally, tattoo it on our arm. My grace is all you need. When you feel like quitting, no, my grace is all you need. When you feel like throwing in the towel, my grace is all you need. When you feel like throwing everything away, my grace is all you need. When you feel like ending your life, my grace is all you need. And Paul says, so no longer do I boast in anything else except Christ Jesus and what he's done for me. Because I recognize that if the same grace that saved me is securing my salvation, it's also the same grace that could sustain me through my most painful moments in life. So now my prayer is, God, don't take it away. God, help me to endure. Help me to get through it. Help me to see it through. Trusting God is believing God will get you through a situation, even if he doesn't change your situation. The old church would say it like this: trouble don't last always. There's truth in that. Because if you're following Jesus, he would say things like, these light and momentary troubles are nothing compared to what I have in store for you. So yes, it's dark right now. Yes, you're going through a valley right now. Yes, it's difficult right now. Yes, it seems like nothing is working right now. But the thing that you got to understand is that I am with you. That I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's temporary. It's temporary. What you're going through is temporary. The pain that you're experiencing, it's temporary. The discouragement that you're experiencing, it's temporary. But the thing you got to understand is that it's temporary, not because time heals our wounds. Time doesn't heal our wounds. Time can make things worse. Time doesn't necessarily heal everything. If you go months without giving a tumor attention, it can kill you. Time does not heal wounds. Jesus heals wounds. God's grace heals wounds. And what happens is when we submit ourselves to the grace of God through time, God heals them. He says, I'm with you. I'm with you. You're struggling right now? I'm with you. So what is Christmas all about then? As I'm closing, Ben, you guys can come on up. What is Christmas all about? It's not about presents. It's not about the gifts under the tree. Christmas isn't about presents. It's about God's presence. It's not about gifts. It's about God's grace. It's not about what's going on. It's not about the good things that's happening. It's not about all the things that you can buy. No, it's about the fact that God is with you, even in your pain. And the thing that I want to lead us in a moment right now is a moment of prayer. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, the thing I want to ask us this morning is this: are you in pain? Are you experiencing a difficult moment? Because if you are, the good news is this: God has promised to be with you, to never leave you, never forsake you. With you. He says, you know what? I may not change the situation, but I'm going to help you get through it. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm with you. And I believe that some of us in here right now, you're in pain. You're in a moment right now where you're like, man, God, where are you? Is it ever going to end? And God says, just as I was with Joseph, I'm going to also be with you. Emmanuel, God with us. Father, for every person in here who feels pain, for every person right now who's experiencing disappointment, I pray, Lord, that you would minister to their hearts. And I pray, Lord, that through this word, Lord, that they've heard that you are faithful to them, that you meet them in their pain, that you give meaning even in their pain, but that you also move them through their pain. I thank you, God, that you don't just meet us and give meaning, but you move us through it. And so even right now, if we're in a moment of pain, the confidence that we have is that it won't always be this way as we surrender it all to you. And we thank you for it, because that's what Christmas is all about. In Jesus' name, while every head is bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I'm in pain right now. I'm dealing with some discouraging times. I'm disappointed. And I don't know anything about Jesus. I don't have a relationship with him. But this morning, I want him to do a wondrous work in my life. I want healing to begin to take place. I want to be free. I want to get through. I want breakthrough in my life. Let me help you understand something. It only comes through Jesus. He came to earth so that the very presence of God would be on you and be with you and in you. And the awesome thing about it is all you got to do is receive it by faith. You just got to believe it. It's not anything that you do. This message was not even about what you do. It's all about what God does. So if that's you this morning, you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ. I want Jesus to step into my life the way he stepped into Joseph and Mary's life 2,000 plus years ago. And the awesome thing about it is he wants to do that today. So if you're here this morning, you're saying, I'm ready. I want to receive him by faith. I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life, so that I could be forgiven, and so that my pain can have a purpose. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the fact that God is with us, even in our pain. Amen. Amen. As we prepare to go, if you're here this morning and you prayed that prayer for the first time, you have made the greatest decision that a person could ever make because you've surrendered your life to Jesus. So if you prayed that prayer, here's what I want us all to do. I want you to pull out that connection card that we gave you in the worship guide when you walked in. And I want you to check that box.